No one remembers the day they were born. Our consciousness awakens slowly, like a sunrise. In a similar way, there is no special time our ancestors collectively awoke and wondered, "Why am I here?" Nevertheless, as humanity did awaken and asked the ontological questions, it became more aware of the tragedy of death, both in nature and in our loved ones. To deal with the horrors, we invented gods. To explain it, we invented myths, like Isis and Osiris. But though we begged and pleaded with our gods, we continued to watch the seasons as they cycled through their relentless march of life and death. We knew it was no use. The ancient theme continued. Our children and our children's children gave birth to one civilization after another. Yet we, as individuals, always perished after but a sliver of consciousness. Then, towards the end of one eon, a path of hope suddenly emerged in the undergrowth, and that has made all the difference. For the first time in human history, the cellular mechanisms that lead to death have been cracked. Modern humanity thus stands at the precipice of a new vista. But to fully appreciate this, we must go back to the ancient myths, for the Greeks were the first to suggest that life had both a mortal and an immortal aspect. They called the mortal aspect bios, and the immortal aspect zoe. Though individuals are born and die after a mere lifetime, a thread of their life passes on. This thread, zoe, continues, passing the knowledge base of civilization from generation to generation, while the individuals that accumulated that knowledge are rewarded with death. Why this injustice? The ancients asked this question for millennia. We continue to ask it in modern labs. What is the essence of Zoe that hints of immortality, yet relegates us to the destiny of bios? This theme, carried on from the simplest one-celled creature to the billions of complex humans that now dominate Earth, is the saga of bios and Zoe. Let's take a closer look and see if this is the way it has to be. The human being is comprised of two types of cells, what's known as germline cells and soma cells. Germline cells, also known as stem cells, are immortal because there is no limit to the number of times they can divide, also known as replicate. But soma cells are not so lucky. They are mortal, because they can only divide about 80 times. Thus, when a cell stops dividing, it dies. When enough cells die, the organ they constitute, such as a heart, lung, or brain, no longer works. It becomes dysfunctional. When an organ becomes dysfunctional, its human host gets sick and eventually dies. In other words, we die because our dysfunctional organs can no longer fight off diseases. Sadly, it looks like billions of years of evolution have set up humans to live only long enough to reproduce and care for their young. Once this is done, an indifferent universe discards them like a used paper cup. Let's take a closer look at this from a technical point of view. The human body is made up of billions of cells. A cell is the basic building block of life, and each cell has a specific function. In order to know what its function is, each cell has embedded into it a kind of computing program. This computing program is known as DNA. DNA is thus nothing more than a complex molecule that is designed to hold memory and compute. In other words, a DNA molecule is a 3 billion-step program, about the size of a computer operating system. This biological program tells every cell in the body exactly where it is supposed to be located, what it is supposed to be doing, and when it is supposed to be doing it. Just as every actor in a play gets a copy of the same script, every cell in the body gets a copy of the same DNA molecule distributed throughout the body. As discussed, each cell in the human body divides. When a cell divides, it becomes two identical cells, each cell receiving an exact copy of the DNA molecule. As cells continue to divide, the human grows. The human grows because he or she now is comprised of more cells. Again, each cell with its own copy of the DNA molecule, its own copy of the script of life. All this is great, but nature made a serious mistake when it designed DNA, hence human beings. As previously mentioned, nature designed humans to only live long enough to reproduce and care for their young. Then they are discarded. They die. Why do your cells, hence you, die? It happens because most of the cells that comprise your body are mortal, while only a relative few are immortal. Ironically, the cells that you need in order to live are the mortal ones, but then they die. They die because death, at the cellular level, is when a cell stops dividing. When it stops dividing, it stops replicating copies of itself. When a cell divides, it creates two copies of itself. Unfortunately, most of the cells that you are made of, soma cells, can only divide about 80 times, and then they start to become dysfunctional. They can no longer perform their exact jobs in building organs. Why is this? Let's take a closer look at the DNA molecule, which is the culprit responsible for death. As covered earlier, the DNA molecule is a biological computing program. This program is constructed of a string of 3 billion atoms all twisted together in an insanely complex structure we call a large organic molecule. At each end of this molecule, there are special end caps. These end caps serve to keep the entire twisted mess from coming unraveled. These end caps are called telomeres. Telomeres are thus vital to maintaining the computing ability of each DNA molecule. For a DNA molecule that comes unraveled is of no computational use. So far, fine. But here's where nature has specifically screwed up when it designed us. Every time a cell divides, thus replicating into two new cells, each with a copy of the body's DNA, the telomere end caps of the DNA get damaged. This damage is manifest by the fact that the telomere gets shorter, like a fuse on a firecracker burning down. By the time the cell has divided 80 times, the telomere has burnt all the way down. The DNA molecule then starts to come unraveled. To the degree this happens, the DNA molecule can no longer compute. The cell thus loses its ability to do what it is supposed to do, build what organ it's supposed to build. When this happens to many cells, organs become dysfunctional. The human host gets sick and eventually dies. This is BIOS at its ugliest, indifferent to the human condition known as old age and death, allowing cells, then organs, to die, one by one, until the human host ages and dies itself, with or without children. But can we circumnavigate this cruel punishment doled out by nature? Can we play God? Fortunately, the answer is yes. Just as we knew we had the technology to go to the moon as early as 1958, we now know we have the technology to create a world where 3,000 people no longer need to die every day just because they can't get an organ transplant. We now have the technology to move towards a world where people can sustain happier, healthier lives. Lives where their hair does not fall out. Where their skin stays young and playful. Lives where people can see, hear, and remember well into their 12th decade. A world where productive members of society no longer need to fear that sudden pain in the chest. In short, we are at the end of one era and the beginning of a new one. Technically, death is curable. Thus, the necessity for some to overpopulate the world in order to provide security for themselves through redundancy is ended. Death is nothing more than another disease. Death is nothing more than a failure of DNA to compute. Here is why this reality is technological horizon. The cure of death is possible for one reason. Nature tells us it's possible. Nature tells us it's possible because we now know that stem cells, cells that are in every human reproductive system, never lose their telomeres. Thus, they can replicate indefinitely. Thus, by definition, they live forever. Since they can live forever, we can live forever. Keep in mind, the formal definition of immortality is cellular division without limit. Cells replicating without limit. Again, these cells are the immortal germline cells our Greek ancestors referred to as Zoe. Indeed, Zoe goes back to even before the Greeks, to the beginning of life on Earth. These cells are immortal because they have telomeres that do not shorten. Thus, their DNA never becomes dysfunctional. The DNA program in every stem cell always does its job. So, here's how one creates not only an immortal cell, but a colony of immortal cells, a human being that does not die. By taking the DNA out of an older soma cell, gray hair cells, for instance, and implanting this DNA into one of the body's immortal stem cells, the new cells that replicate from this will display fully recovered telomeres in the DNA of each successive generation. In other words, the new cells that split off from the stem cell with the old implanted DNA now have perfect DNA because their telomeres have been fully restored. The clock of age has thus been turned back. Can you say no, Gray? Can you remember what it was like to see without glasses, or when you were 25 years old? If you get the import of this discovery, you should be standing on the table screaming at the top of your lungs in joy. Through what can only be called an astounding miracle of nature, a germline stem cell can be used as a time machine to return an old soma cell to an earlier stage of its existence, a stage when its telomeres are perfect, hence its DNA is completely functional. Worn-out soma cells comprising not only gray hair, but flabby skin, bad eyes, brittle bones, overworked livers, exasperated lungs, and tired hearts can likewise be restored. Rather than going to the operating room to have body parts cut out and implanted under the vagaries of a knife, why not simply regenerate the organs you were born with, cell by cell? Why not simply overwrite your worn-out DNA with your new DNA? DNA that has had its telomeres regenerated, so every cell in your body will thus, once again, know exactly what it's supposed to be doing to build a new, regenerated you. You know, like when you were 25. Once we realize what we have in our hands, we realize the age-old adage that death and taxes are inevitable is under serious attack. Given this, it should be safe to say that healthy, life-loving human beings should detest death even more than ever. Perhaps even enough to do something about it. And death should be detested, as it's a mechanism that separates us from those we love, some say permanently. Again, what makes this potential fate, a fate untold trillions have suffered, a tiny bit less horrendous, is the discovery that there is no mandate in nature that says we humans must die. We simply die after we have served the immediate purpose of nature's germline, reproduction and the rearing of children. Then nature spits us out. We die, and the next generation moves into the same fatal position. This is the plan nature has for you. This is her default plan. We suffer the default plan only because we tolerate technological blackouts, blackouts instituted and enforced by ignorant and abhorrent creatures that occasionally get into positions of power. Such people and the hordes of neo-Luddites they have spawned do little more than spread the disease of ignorance and fear throughout modern technological civilization. In the end, bios will have its way with such creatures. Unfortunately, humans have been indoctrinated with an inverted view of reality. They think that the soma cells of their body are used by nature to create egg and sperm cells for the purpose of growing another body. The actuality is, the immortal germline cells in the egg and sperm grow an entire body of soma cells as a vessel for the sole purpose of creating another set of egg and sperm cells. This is the way nature perpetuates the germline at the expense of the soma line. You. Thus, we, as aggregates of germline cells, are dispensable, whereas the tiny, totipotent stem cells that triggered our existence are the only entities that get to experience the luxury of immortality. If you are not outraged by nature's default plan, you have probably just accepted it as so-called reality. And for those of us that occupy our lives watching TV, paying taxes, and then dropping dead after 7 or 8 decades, this plan is reality. But does it have to be? Why should those who do not want to die have to die? Just because some technically challenged neo-Luddites feel it's politically correct to die after a certain number of revolutions around a G main sequence star. The universe doesn't care how long you live. You can live as long as you want. Hell, the universe has lived for billions of years. Human life extension of even a mere 1,000 years is no big deal to the universe. All we have to do is ask the correct questions, and the answers will emerge, sooner or later. Questions like, which came first, the chicken or the egg? If you don't take this question seriously, there is no way you are going to live 1,000 years. If you have followed this show carefully, the answer to this question will be clear. The egg. The egg came first. Why? Because the chicken is the egg's way of creating, not another chicken, but another egg. The egg has existed from the beginning. Thus, it came first. The chicken is nothing more than a dispensable manufacturing plant for eggs. Nature doesn't give a rat's ass about the chicken. It only cares about the egg and its immortal continuity. The Greeks would put it this way. Bios is Zoe's way of creating infinite Zoe. The biologist would say, soma cells are the germline cells' way of creating infinite germline cells. The attentive viewer of this documentary would say, the human body is merely the human egg's way of creating more human eggs. You, your memories, your experiences and skills, your knowledge, from the point of view of an egg and nature, are ultimately irrelevant to nature, hence disposable. No offense, but if this doesn't irritate you, you simply don't get it. Fortunately, after 50,000 years of thinking man, it looks like nature's default plan can be thwarted. Stem cell cloning will someday cure death. With stem cell cloning and regenerative technology, miracles well beyond anything humans were previously able to imagine will be routine, just like microprocessors were not routine during the Roman Empire. But this will only happen if enough rational people gather together, ignore the masses of ignorant neo-Luddites, and provide the financial and intellectual resources to accelerate free enterprise research and development in this field. Can stem cell cloning and regenerative medicine cure diseases once thought incurable? Yes. Eventually, all of the diseases caused by dysfunctional organs, such caused by dysfunctional cells, such caused by dysfunctional DNA, such caused by dysfunctional telomeres, will be addressed. We should start with graying and thinning hair, wrinkled skin, and bad eyesight, for these will be the simple diseases to cure. Cure of these maladies will sensationalize the field of regenerative medicine and drive in billions, if not trillions, of research dollars immediately. Hey, who doesn't want to get rid of that first gray hair? Then rheumatoid arthritis, dementia, Alzheimer's, lung disease, diabetes, heart disease, and cancer can be addressed. Sure, perhaps people will die while research is perfecting the regeneration of youthful hair. But let's get real. Few humans really care about heart disease unless it's happening to them or someone close. On the other hand, many more people will experience gray hair before they experience a heart attack or cancer. Thus, as shallow and vain as it is, you can bet the public at large will fund research that can cure gray hair more avidly than they will fund research for cancer, especially if some breakthrough happens and galvanizes hundreds of millions of people who happen to have gray hair, wrinkled skin, or bad eyes. After the money quickly floods in to handle these relatively superficial diseases, there will then be plenty to quickly handle all the serious diseases. Again, if the medical community goes after the serious diseases, it will take longer to raise research money because these diseases affect fewer people at any given time. If the medical community goes after curing the stupid, vain, cosmetic, non-life-threatening diseases, money will flood in immediately. Every one of the diseases confronting humanity is caused by dysfunctional cells, cells that can no longer replicate properly because the DNA that computes their functionality has been compromised through telomere degradation. Stem cell cloning opens the door to regenerative medicine just in time to remedy the healthcare and overpopulation problems facing our nation and the world. Oh, the naysayers and technically challenged quislings of civilization will howl about these claims of a brave new world. The uninformed, brain-dead religionists will scream that only they should be allowed to play God. And yes, the Rockefeller-infested medical establishment will hate the idea of an effective, low-cost healthcare system that, instead of curing cancer, actually cures cancer. And make no mistake, Big Pharma will try to clamp down with their K Street legal cronies as soon as they see the public popping fewer of their high-profit pills. But no matter what temporary insanities ensue, humanity will never forget the myth of Osiris and Isis as it whispers, "Awaken. Seek out the immortality nature has never denied us. It's time to play a greater role in the saga of Bios and Zoe."